gorgeous well-being, sex and beauty. It's coming up to the time of year when we have to face our flesh, get into our swimwear, and we want to look good. How to look good, we all ask. Well, I'm here with Zanna Morris, nutritionist, personal trainer and owner of three gyms in London, who's written The High-Fat Diet, How to Lose 10 Pounds in 14 Days. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you very much.
So Zanna, the diet promises not just to take weight off, but transform your shape and take inches off. How's that possible?
Okay, we've got two things going on. It's not just a diet. It's the high fat diet, and the high bit also included HI, high intensity.
Oh. So
it included some exercises too. But it works very, very simply. It's a very specific plan. It's not just about increasing fat into the diet. A high fat diet works in two ways. First is any weight around the middle is related to the body releasing a little bit too much insulin. If you stabilize that, the fat drops very fast. There's only one food group that does not cause the body to release insulin. And most people assume it's protein in their fish and their meats. But even those cause a little bit of a spike. Sugars are obviously the worst. They cause the big spike. Fat is the only food that has no impact on insulin. So a high fat plan is a very, very low insulin producing plan, which means insulin is stabilized. I might argue it's almost flatlined, and fat drops from the middle very, very fast. However, it works in another way, which I think is more exciting again. On it, it's a very low carbohydrate plan. So the fat is in, but all the sugars, the breads, the rice, the pasta is out. As we're sitting here now, unless you're on a high fat plan, your body will be burning sugars for energy as its fuel source. On this plan, there's not enough sugars. The fat is in there. It switches, a bit like a hybrid car, it switches from burning sugars as a fuel into burning fat as a fuel. And when it does that, it drives into your own fat stores. Bizarrely on this, and totally counterintuitively, when you're on the plan and doing it properly, the more fat you eat, the faster it works. It's a bit like throwing oil onto naked flame. It flares up. If you cut back on the fat, you actually slow down the result.
But you start off with a pre-tox, don't
yes.
you?
Yes. The pre-tox is not essential. It just makes your life a lot easier. The Blitz itself is 10 days, so it's a focused drive. And after that, you don't have to do this, but after that, we've got more than of a maintenance plan as well, or a plan that you can kind of gradually ease off and go back to, for want of a better way of putting it, normal eating as such again. The long term of the plan like this, most of our clients, our simple guideline is just keep the carbs down, the breads, the rice and pasta. You don't need them every day with every meal. And in their place, get the fats in. They make you so much fuller. They satisfy you so much more. And energy-wise, everything's so much more stable.
Can you tell us some stories about people that have come to you?
Yes.
No names, obviously. Bit mean on them.
No names. A lot of our clients tend to be in a bracket of having maybe about 14 to 20 pounds to lose. So they're not massively overweight.
About 2 stone.
About 2 stone. Yeah. They're not massively overweight, but they've got this extra layer. Yes, that you can kind of hide well with clothes until one day you just get fed up because the jeans won't quite shut. It really is that bracket. And in almost every case, and I mean, I can think of one in particular recently, they've been doing, in this particular case, this girl has been doing the exact same thing that she always did, but it isn't quite working in the same way. And that comes up a lot with us.
So women of sort of over 35 then?
Exactly, yes. Mm. Over 35. I hate admitting this, but that 40 mark, it's a pain in the neck. It comes up time and again. And you'd like to insist it doesn't exist. Sadly, it sort of does. There's a whole hormonal shift. From the age of 30, and this is why this high-fat diet book, the HI for me, was quite important. From the age of 30, it's estimated we lose about 0.5 pound of muscle a year. Firm tissue, muscle tissue burns fat. By the time we're 40, we've probably lost 5 pounds of muscle tissue. And the trouble is, most of us, and I will put me into this bracket because I've done it. Mm-hmm. You look at any kind of an extra layer or just simply want to lose a bit because you want to look good for. And we cut back on the food.
Yeah.
And just increase the exercise. So maybe a bit more running or a bit more.
Yeah, we all do that.
We all do it.
Did it today.
And we do. We all do it. The trouble is with just cutting back on the food, depending on how extremely you do it, but cutting back on food is really otherwise known as a starvation diet. You're simply cutting back on the calories. And the trouble is your body will start driving into its muscle stores to feed you. So you will lose fat and you will lose weight, but you'll also lose muscle. Same thing happens when you exercise for more than 45 minutes of any kind of intensity. Mm. Once you go past that threshold, you start eating into more muscle tissue than your body is capable of recovering.
And then the older you get, the more dangerous that
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Yeah. So you've got this, it's happening because you're aging anyway, just with all of us. And now it's happening because we're accelerating it because we're trying to get into shape. Yeah. So we end up with this bit of a catch-22 where our systems are slowing down more and more. And that is the classic case that I kind of see day in, day out. So back to this lady in particular who had, it was, I, at our calculation, about 18 pounds to lose to get into our ideal shape.
What did she want to be?
Moving from the age of a high 14 into 16, so depending on the brand and how nice they are to you. Exactly the same. The reason she ends up on my doorstep is exactly this. Exactly what she did the last about four or five times aiming to get into shape just wasn't shifting anything.
My weekday fix? Darling, it has to be Radio Gorgeous.
Now, it doesn't really help that there's children involved with this. We love children, but unfortunately when it comes to shape, again, in the late 30s and early 40s, in my experience, it can be a little bit more challenging. So in this case, it is a classic case, slightly insulin resistant already, hormonal shifts that happened at 40, having a child with that kind of increases that a bit. And then probably 15 years plus of doing the, I'm going to cut back in the food, do a bit extra exercise, which is sort of speeding up the process, i.e. the process of gaining weight rather than losing it. So you've got to grab that and take a grip on it, if you like. High intensity training is a burst. You start at your own pace. I can't emphasize that enough. You're not going to start at the maximum. You build it up. If you like running, you simply do it by doing anything from 15 to 30 second sprints and then slow it down into a gentle jog and do the sprint again. Anything you're doing, if you like swimming, you can do the same thing. But it's an all-out burst where the heart rate goes up, you can really feel the oxygen intake increasing to the point that you really feel you can't do anything else, and then you slow it down. And that's the high-intensity interval training. Mm-hmm. In the book, we have ones you can just do at home. Literally things like freestanding squats, which seem incredibly easy until you go all out for a minute and then you realise there's a lot more involved. We do it in the gyms with weights. Where the key is just no resting. So you lift the maximum weight for you that you can lift and you don't rest. And again, we go through that in the book, how you can do that in a gym that you might have access to. But in all cases, the beauty of high intensity training, from my experience and my knowledge of it, is it's one of the best ways for really improving muscle tone and fast. So we're aiming to do two things. Stabilize the insulin, get the fat levels down, get the firm tissue back, which drives up your metabolism as well. In the short term, you're sort of recalibrating your body. You're getting it working a bit more like it did when you're in your 20s, which is bad thing.
It's amazing.
And then in the long term, to keep, because that's always the question, how do you keep it off?
Yes, that's all the people I know with weight problems are generally yo-yo dieters.
Yes, and how do you keep it off? Mm. In terms of simple rules, the first is, in terms of training, in my experience, if you do a good quality little high intensity session, I say little in the sense of we do 12 to 15 minute sessions here, so you don't need to do it for much longer than that. Even if you only did that three times a week and did it well, it will really help from the firm tissue and the fitness side of it. Exercise won't keep fat off, I don't believe, unless you're doing masses. But it will improve the muscle tone if you do it right. And the firm tissue keeps your metabolism up, which helps keep the fat off. From a shape point of view, in my experience, if you keep the breads, the rice, the pastas down to maybe two or three times a week rather than every day with every meal, honestly, the difference is like night and day. I've noticed that if people just keep it to twice a week, even if it's social and even if it's like three or four glasses rather than the recommended
whole
one or
bottle.
Two,
yeah.
that kind
yeah.
of thing, they seem to still be able to keep their shape. When they do it every day, even if it's only like a glass and a half or that every day, it affects their shape more. But the best ones, in inverted commas, do tend to be the white spirits, which a lot of people now know, the vodkas and the gins, the purer alcohols, if you like. They don't seem to have such a kick.
What about red wine? Because that's what I drink.
From an insulin point of view, it's not ideal, but it has other advantages. Mm. You know, your resveratrol, your other antioxidants in it. So there's pros and cons to sort of everything in life.
I can't drink spirits anymore. They make me go nuttier.
Well, if I'm being honest, I'm not a huge fan of spirits.
So what's your favourite wine?
My favourite is actually, I was going to say Prosecco, And I think, I went through a phase of thinking it seems to cause less damage than the others, and then I realised it's simply you drink less.
Yes.
You know, when you go to your theatre and pour it into the plastic cup as they send you in, you realise how little you've actually got.
Yeah. But also think Prosecco, it's a very dry drink, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. You know. Yeah, I like it, and I find I really don't drink as much, whereas if you with wine, it's I find it too easy to drink more.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's as a result my favourite.
Okay. Yes. So twice a week for you, Vanzana?
Pretty much.
Very good.
I'm not a big drinker. I do like when I go out to have a drink. So it'd be normally about twice a week. Yeah.
That sounds so good. It sounds sort of too good to be true. That's what I'm kind of, you know. So tell me just about a few people, how they've done and what, you know, you were starting off with the woman.
Right. So
she arrived 2 stone overweight.
Yes. So what we did with her is exactly this. The first 12 days. Now, in the gyms, we do it very, very slightly differently to the book, only because we can monitor. So what we do is we're not as kind on the pre-tox, but we catch the clients. So if they're having proper sugar withdrawals, then we give them the tips that we have in the book for the pre-tox.
Yeah, like a little bit of lemon in tea. That
exactly.
was really good.
That kind of thing. So we tend to kind of launch them into it a bit more, but keep an eye and see. What most people do, and I totally genuinely understand it, is almost to relax in the evening, there's the glass of wine just to kind of...
Yeah.
But the trouble with that is it causes that insulin surge, and usually that means about 4 hours later, you wake up.
It affects that whole sugar. That's why we're getting the 4 in the morning.
Kind of thing, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And the beauty of this is you flatline that, so sleep is a lot deeper and kind of restful, if you like.
Listen, there must be some... This is too good,
downside.
You know.
Yeah,
come on. I've got to hear. This is too good to be true.
I will give you the downside.
Radio Gorgeous, podcasts for women.
Yeah. The biggest downside to this plan and my biggest concern in writing the book, if I'm being honest, is if you cheat, particularly on that kind of blitz phase where it's very high fat, very low carbohydrate, if you cheat and add in alcohol or sugars, you could get fat. Simply put, you're on a mega calorie plan. This is not one you sort of dabble in. You can dabble in the low fat plans or high protein plans or 2-5-2 plans. You can dabble in all of those and all that will happen is nothing. If you dabble in this, you're on a mega calorie plan. So if you're going to do it, you do have to.
So have you ever, you must have had some naughty people.
Oh, always. Honestly, always. We have, over the years, I've had gyms for over 10 years now, and over those years, we've developed this system of training all the instructors. Around about day 3, they will ask the question, how's it going? And the client will always go, very, very well. The next question is, so, you know, are you eating enough fat? I'm eating loads of fat. And the next question is, what exactly did you have for? And they will honestly make you go through exactly what you had for breakfast, exactly what you had for lunch, exactly what you had for your evening meal and any drinks you had in between. To spot, we work under the assumption people won't stick to it and are going to break it and catch.
Yeah.
We do our best at consultations to warn clients, don't. It's not worth it. You're better doing this plan for 8 days fully and then leaving it.
Okay.
Rather than 10 or even 20 days at half mast.
The reason I've never done any of these things is if I go, I'm more than 3 hours without a snack, I am the grumpiest, horriblest person you've ever met in your life.
So if you need the food, the rule is if you're not hungry, don't eat. If you are hungry, do. So we've had quite slim people with a little bit of fat to lose on it where they eat 4 times a day. So in other words, don't panic. If you really feel you need it, you can have it. However, the grumpiness is usually sugar withdrawal. So you're kind of getting the high and the low, the kind of peak and trough as such. Sugar in, insulin pulls it out, then there's the drop and then you need more. Also, insulin causes the release of another hormone called ghrelin, which causes the craving and the hungers. When you stabilize that, you don't get the highs and the lows. And it's the fastest way I know to kill kind of addictions to chocolate or cravings to sugar. It's after about 4 or 5 days, you just don't.
You see, because I'm a dark chocolate person. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love my dates and things like that.
The dark chocolate is actually not bad. It wouldn't work on the Blitz, but there's maintenance versions of Five Out where actually it would.
Yeah.
Dates sadly aren't as good in the from the sugar game.
Yeah.
They've obviously other advantages, but on the sugar game, they're not as good.
Yeah.
So with this, if you were going for it, my approach would simply be, if you really, really feel you need that snack, you would do a version of, say, cheese and nuts. So you'd make it into a little small meal just to kind of tide you through. By the time you hit the fourth or fifth day, that's when your body will have probably switched from burning the sugar as a fuel into fully burning the fat as a fuel. And you'll feel the difference and you'll see it yourself. And honestly, the dips don't seem to happen. I can't emphasize it enough. If you're hungry, you eat. So you don't have to feel like your hands are tied and you just can't. But you just don't. You really don't. Brilliant for mood.
Have you had weight issues yourself?
Not so much weight issues, but I probably would say I was a classic in my late teens and early 20s, obsessed with weight. And I say obsessed, looking back, I was in pretty good shape, but you always thought you could be in better.
So you had a bad body image.
Yes, yes. And it wasn't terrible. I think it would fall into the bracket of so many people I know, which is perfectly normal to the outside world. I wasn't, you know, in a panic about it. But when I look back, I go, well, you know, were you mad? Mm-hmm. In the same way
you see the photographs.
Yeah, exactly. There was nothing wrong with that shape. You were, and so exactly that. And I have two sisters. And they were always the really, really, really slim types, no matter what they did.
So always compared yourself.
I always compared myself. Yeah. So I never had, in inverted commas, fat, but I always felt like I wasn't quite as good
bigger.
As I could have been.
You're a bit bigger than them. Yeah.
And I tried, and I was also fascinated by nutrition. And I really mean fascinated in the sense of I used to read every kind of health book I could going. And from everything from water fasting to fruit fasting to
it.
I just, in my late teens, I was obsessed with the effect of nutrition. It was a bit sad, but I really did. So I smile with the 5-2 because I'm like, I tried a version of that when I was actually around about 21, 22. I was doing all of that. The Duke can, I was doing versions of that when I was 22, 23. So there's all the plans, but you kind of figured out or met people or nutritionists that you wanted to try.
RadioGorgeous.com.
And in my late teens, and I loved yoga, I still do, but I loved it in those days. I was, for a period of time, completely vegetarian. And then even when I wasn't, it was only a very small amount of fish on occasion. Grew up on the low-fat idea. Just, were brought up with it. I was brought up on skim milk and, God forbid, margarine. It was
your mum and dad thought they were being really
they
healthy.
They did, in fairness, they really, really did. So vegetarian and low fat was sort of my approach when I came across the high fat and I was introduced to it. So it really was me taking a deep breath. In the first time round I did it, I did a vegetarian version of it, which I have to be honest is restrictive. It really is. I honestly, this is why I introduced the pre-tox, because if anyone suffered at that point, I did, because I was so obsessed at one point with the fat intake that, you know, even vitamin E capsules, I'd be thinking, I wonder how much oil is in that. You know, you were kind of trying to keep it so low. So the idea of the fat, and I think more psychologically than even my body dealing with it, was just a shock. So the first time I did it, I think I got about a week out on it. I thought, this is insane. Second time I did it, I did move into the fish and meat options.
God, so you had to, did you have to force yourself to eat meat?
I didn't mind a little bit. And I ate very little, but I can't say I adored it. I thought, okay, it's okay, it's fine. Mm. I was, and particularly when I did it properly the second time around and got my rhythm with it and understood it, what blew me away was the hunger was gone. Low fat is it, again, I'm going to use the word a killer for hunger. You really do need focus.
Yeah.
And I found as a result, you spend most of your day thinking about food.
Yeah.
And planning it and knowing what you've got. Whereas when I went on the high fat, that completely stopped. Mm. The craving stopped. The need for, you know, I've got to have something, stopped.
Yeah.
And that on its own was almost enough for me to go, forget the results, I'm buying into this.
Yeah.
I remember on it, you could almost, and I'm saying in this particular case, the first time doing it, what really blew me away was you could, within the week, the first week of doing it, you could watch your waist going in. You could see it. Mm. You could do them and you could actually see it. Whereas other plans, it was sort of like you just accepted they were working, you know. Whereas this, you could actually see the change in the definition, particularly when you combined it with the training, which made it fascinating and quite
Especially for you, being a nutritionist.
Well, exactly.
You were doing the old, you were testing everything. Yeah, testing on yourself first. That's always
100%,
been your thing.
100%. Yeah. So for me, what really sold me on it, and I have to be honest, throughout most of my 20s as a result, I moved to, my overall eating became much higher fat and much lower carbohydrate. But the biggest thing was just, I'm going to say, the stability. Stop thinking about food. Your mood is very steady. Your energy is very steady. And that for me was everything, because I genuinely got to the point in my late teens where I thought, it's just the type of person I am. You know? And I realized, actually, it wasn't. I was starving my body of fat. Yeah, and it was essential. Well, so, yes, that was me.
The High Fat Diet is published by Vermilion. And Zanna, thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production 2015, produced and presented by Josephine Pembroke, edited by Anna Palinkas.